Good morning again.
Good morning.
Like I've been introduced, my name's Shane Hartman, and my wife and I are from Milliopolis. We live out in the country and found our way out in the country to worship in this great place today.
Thank you.
Our GPS takes us a different way every single time, so I'm really not sure. I'm a guy of landmarks. Like if there's a church or an old car or a building or something of interest, I could say, oh, that's the one we went by last time. So far, I haven't seen any of those things, so I'm really grateful to be here this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I really have to focus my brain and my soul to listen to God. I really have to get there. My brain goes ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong all day long. It goes from cars to motorcycles to anything with a motor to guns to the scripture to the world events to politics to the stuff that's going on at home. So I really, really have to focus my brain down and hone down to listen to what God's trying to teach me in that moment or that day or that season. So like what I like to do with my sermons, I like to start with a psalm because it gets me focused in on what my message is going to be about. And it just introduces us to, hey, the scripture says this, and maybe we could focus in and get our hearts and our minds in that right spot with God. So I'd like to start with Psalm 25 today. It says, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are all from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Amen. It seems fitting to talk about Labor Day since it's tomorrow, and some of us get the day off. Some of us are retired. Some of us are working. Some of us are farmers. Some of us are welders. I have a special affinity for welders. I once worked at Caterpillar and watched these guys work and work and work and see the heat coming off their welds and the wire and the jackets they wear to protect themselves and the gloves. And it's a kind of a filthy, hot job that these folks do to provide for their family, and wow, I get it. I can't barely weld two pieces of metal together. I don't have that talent in any sort of way. I could maybe stick it together for a minute, but I don't have that ability. God gave me other abilities, but not welding, and I just appreciate people that work hard for their families and whatever way that is. I have had several different jobs in my life, and I'm blessed to have a not so physical job, but I'm in the mirror of politics, which is not a whole lot of fun many days, and they don't really agree with the way I think. So it's a little bit of a struggle every day to try to get the point across and say, hey, this is wrong. The little Wikipedia blurb about Labor Day, it says, is a federal holiday of the United States celebrated on the first Monday in September to honor and recognize the American labor movement and the works and contributions of laborers to the development and achievements of the United States. The three-day weekend it falls on is often called the Labor Day weekend. What does Scripture say about work and rest? Colossians 3:23 tells us, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Sounds easy. Do whatever you're asked to do by the boss, as if God was asking you to do it. Easy peasy. Just do it, and everything will be great. If you're like me, your first intention is to go, I don't want to do that. That seems hard. That seems difficult. I don't want to. It's dirty. It's ucky. It's hot. That seems like a lot of work. What are we trying to accomplish? I probably have a way better way to do it. Just ask me. I could tell you a better way. We could come up with a plan, and it'll be way better than whatever your idea is. That's not what this says. Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whew. Something I've struggled with my whole life. That authority thing, not so much. When I was in the service, I got off the bus and this guy was mad and yelling at me. I said, if you could just ask me, I would do whatever. He was angry. He was mad. He said bad things to me. I would have gladly put my stuff wherever he asked. He didn't ask. It was a valuable lesson to me as a young man. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says, "There remains them a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish following their examples of disobedience." This rest thing also fascinates me, and I don't do it well either, hence this service and this message. I've often had to work two or three jobs my whole adult life, just since time began, and I'm not begrudging that upon anyone. There's all these bills, and people want to eat like three or four times a day, and you pay your power bill, the next month they give you another power bill, and the next month they give you another power bill, and we've got to have this thing called internet so the kids can do their work and play their games and whatever else they do. And you need phones and you need gas, and I have this affinity for cars, so you have to pay for them. It's this weird thing, and if you buy a nice car, you might have to make payments on it, and you make a payment, the next month they want another payment. So I've always had two or three jobs almost a whole entire life, and I never rested very well. I collapsed. That's not what God tells us to do. That's not the example he's given. Even God rested. Omnipotent, the great God, almighty God, rested. Did he need to rest? Could he have done something else? Could he created a whole other world? Could he have done whatever? He chose to rest to give us this great example to rest. We have to rest. And I can tell you the downside of not resting. And in following this Colossians verse I mentioned a few minutes ago, even if you're working for the Lord and you're working and you're working and you're trying to save souls and you're trying to get the message across, you're trying to relate to people, you're trying to do your part, God's called you to do something, you can do that too much too. You can work yourself to the bone. And God will knock you out. He'll knock you to your knees. He'll give you things like depression and anxiety and make you feel like what you're saying doesn't make any difference and that you're not making an impact in this world and just everything is gloomy and dark and God doesn't need you to give his message to the world, and the devil loves that. I hope we get another one. We got another one knocked down. God needs us to rest. He needs us to rest in his word. He needs us to trust him. He needs us to listen to what the scripture tells us over and over and over again. Rest. What a strange concept. Rest. I like it. It sounds great. Once upon a time, there was a show on TV called Ancient Aliens. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's this big conspiracy thing, and I don't put any truth in it, but the guy with the crazy hair had the most soothing voice I ever heard. He would start out, "Ancient alien theorists," and I go, There was something so melodic about his voice that it would just put me to sleep after I had gave a great, what I thought was a great message and filled my belly full, and I'd get in front of the TV and this guy with crazy hair would go, "Ancient Alien Theories." I don't know what any of the rest of the program was about. Just that one sentence was just good enough for me to put me to sleep. It was just this amazing thing, this rest, this heavenly rest that where we don't worry about things. We don't worry about what's going on tomorrow. We don't worry about what the kids are going to do or what's going to happen at school or how are we going to get them there or does the car have gas in it? Will the car start tomorrow? All those things. Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? The bills due on the 15th, or are we going to have enough money by the 14th to pay it? Real rest. Rest. When you could actually rest in the Lord. Sometimes we get to do that at church. This is an interesting experience for me. Some people find my message so soothing they go to sleep. I don't mind, but don't snore real loud because it's distracting. Then I get a little jealous. Sometimes we come to church and we're able to rest. We can giggle and laugh and be amongst friends and be ourselves and be silly. And we could. There was like 5 zillion prayer requests this morning, and I was like, wow. It just felt heavy to me. Just this burden. Not that it's my burden, but it's God's burden to answer and listen to these requests. I'm like, wow, that's heavy. It just felt heavy. And I thought about my friend. I have a dear friend in Sullivan, and they got in this crazy wreck and in a store of all things. And I thought of him, but I couldn't allow myself to add one more name to the list. I'm like, wow. I'm like, I was trying to count along, and I'm trying to listen and think, and there was no rest in that. I was just like, man, that's heavy. That's a heavy burden. Then I think about. And we credit Paul with so much of the New Testament and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I think about what he's saying. And Paul has an interesting perspective on rest. Paul just persecuted these people that he grew to love. After this great conversion experience where Saul becomes Paul, he worked hard as a zealot. Nobody would ever say that Paul was lazy as a zealot. He didn't do what he was intending to do. He thought he was called by God to be a zealot. Interesting enough. And then he turns into this powerhouse of an apostle for us. And we see so much of it in the New Testament. And like I said, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on whom you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." Now keep in mind, this is the guy who's just talking about, Saul. It says, hey, I gave you this great message, this conversion message to save your soul. He goes on to say, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Abnormally born. Just let that resonate in your soul for a second. He goes on to say, "For I'm the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle." This is Paul. Paul's one of our heroes. But like I said, he used to be Saul. Because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God's, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now I worked harder than all of them. Listen to what Paul says. He's kind of bragging in this moment, the way I take it. "I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether them... or it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." I'm going to dig into the scripture just a little bit more. I'm just going to go over it again. "For I am the least of the apostles." This is Paul saying this. "I do not even deserve to be called an apostle." Can we relate to that? I struggled for years when I got called from God and said, Shane, you're going to be a pastor. I was sitting in a great big church and I looked around. Shane's a common name. Maybe God was talking to somebody else and I just overheard. I was trying to find the guy named Shane that was supposed to be a preacher. Oh my God, you know me. You know me. You know. I'm colorful. I'm outspoken. I like cars, and I've led a colorful life, to say the least. I've been a sinner. I've done things I'm not proud of. You want me to preach? I'm not very articulate. Sometimes I stumble over words. And God said, yeah, you. So let me just say this again. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. Where's Terry at? Terry somewhere. There he is. Terry said, I don't like to pray in Sunday school. I'm paraphrasing, so forgive me if I screw this up. I'm not very good at it. Me either, buddy. Me either. I've been doing it a long time, and I'm still like, eesh. Was that a good one or not a good one? It seemed good. It seemed all right. My heart was in the right place, but I don't know where my words went, or if they went in order, or if I said what I was supposed to say. Thank God. God hears the utterance of our heart, but it spoke to me when he said that. I'm not good at this. And it says, because I presented the church of God, and that's what we're called to do, present the church of God. I love the young man, and forgive me, I don't know everybody's name yet, but you get in the Bible, and to you it might seem this like trivial moment in time as a young man, and I totally get it. You're probably thinking about, when I get home, I'm going to play some Fortnite, and there's a game on, and I'm going to play outside, or ride, whatever you do, ride your bike, or whatever you're into. But man, they gave you the Word of God. Like, they gave you this gift that nobody could really give you, this written down Word of God that you could carry with you forever. And like right this second, it might not seem like this huge deal, but later in life you're going to go, where did he say that at? What book was that in? Did he say Colossians? Is it called Colossians? And you're going to go, hey, this is the book of Colossians. What did it say again? Oh, you're going to have this grand epiphany someday and go, oh, this is that same book they gave me at church that Sunday. It's just going to explode in your heart and soul, I hope. I just hope it just gets you and you're going, wow, it says that. And first Paul says he persecuted the church of God, and then he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. I am what I am. God chose me, of warts and all. I could fill up pages of the sins I've committed that I remember, let alone the ones I don't remember. And God says, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. When I feel sorry for myself, when I'm in the dark place, when I don't know what to do, I don't know what decision to make, I'm just stuck between the rock and the hard place, I just pray and go, God, I don't know. Help. Help. I don't know. Often my prayer in the shower is, help. I don't know what today's going to bring. I don't know. Before I wake up, I pray for my kids. There's a whole truckload of them, so I pray for all them and try to make sure they're safe and good and okay and that God's with them. And I'm like, whew. But it says, this grace to me was not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. We just have to be willing. We have to be willing to be that Word of God, that God to somebody. I see it in some of you already. I just barely know just a handful of you folks. And you're like, oh. There was this Sunday school message for the kids a couple weeks ago, and she talked about seashells, and I loved it. I'm like, seashells. My ADHD kicked in. I followed you the whole time. I loved it. I'm like, seashells, great. We're all unique. I got your message. I knew what you were talking about. I loved it. This message about seashells. I'm like, that's being God to these kids. I can't find her. Where is she at? There she is. Now I see you. Sorry. And the message this morning was amazing about being teachers. We're all called to be teachers. But Shane, I didn't go to seminary school, and I don't know much, but I've gone to church my whole life. Those are the people God wants to use. Say, hey, you know what? My life's better because of God. I had this thing happen to me, but God. I had this terrible thing I had to go through, but God. I lost my loved ones, but God. I lost my job, but God. God wants to use you people in that way, and we forget that. Well, I'm not articulate enough. What am I going to say? How am I going to reach these people? That's our excuse list, right? I do the same thing. Well, what am I going to say? Or would anybody like to pray? Right, Terry? Sometimes you just have to go, okay. It's that okay, it's that obedience. This is by the grace of God. If I told the truth, I was scared to death to come preach today. It's been a while. I know the words. I know the book. I know the Word of God fairly well, I think. The Sunday school prompted me, and all I could think about was Abraham and Isaac on that mountain. And forgive me, but I think about Abraham holding that dagger, and he was willing to trust God. He was just willing to do it. And I'm thinking, could I kill one of my kids? Well, depending on what day it was. But I love them dearly. I love them all dearly. And if they were here, I'd make fun of them. But the moment in which Abraham takes that dagger or knife, whatever translation you want to use, and he's going to do it. I fully believe by what the scripture said, he was going to do it. And of course, we know the rest of the story, that God provided the ram in the thicket. And this is great, big, beautiful foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that's all I can think about. We were talking about Abram becoming Abraham and Sarah becoming Sarai becoming Sarah. And I think the scripture says something like, your descendants will be numerous as the sand. And that's all I could think about was that moment in which Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And I thought, whew, it got me again. It got me again. I'm like, I'm going to have to go deliver a man. I got to do a sermon. This guy was going to kill his kid. Of course, we know all the backstory. There's way more to it. But I'm like, well, I guess I could get up and read some words I wrote down. Seems trivial in comparison to those things. And I was sitting in my seat and the pew and listened to the music, and I was familiar with the music we sang and got to sing along, and hopefully I wasn't too loud, and sometimes I get a little carried away, and sometimes I have to sing so low nobody could hear me, because sometimes I get a little carried away or off key or what have you, and I'm like, God, I really need your help. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I got these notes, and I didn't used to preach with notes, so I thought, well, I better have some. And I've got these notes and this great scripture, and of course, anything Paul says, I really enjoy. And of course, he's inspired by God. And I thought, whew, I can do it. And I was sitting in the pew, and I finally felt the Holy Spirit come over me, and I'm like, whew, I can do it. I can do it. By the grace of God, I can do it. But we can do that every day. Our message can be very simple every day to somebody. We all have that friend or that loved one or something we could just be God to. And I don't mean that in a big-headed way, but just be like, man, I had a rough weekend, but God got me through it. Man, this terrible thing happened, or this silly thing happened, or I didn't know how I was going to pay that bill, but God sent me a check, this unexpected check. Anybody have that happen where you're going, God, I trust you. I know you're going to provide, and the bill's due on the 29th, and the check comes on the 28th. And you're going, whew, thanks, God. We've got to have that faith, and we've got to share our faith with others. That's not what the message was supposed to be about today. It was about taking a rest. But as often happens to me, whatever I plan on, God has a different plan. Amen. Thank God, right? Yeah. And I just want to hit the scripture just one more time. And again, I have super duper ADHD. And sometimes I have to think about like 5,622 times before it actually sinks into my skull. I've got like a thick head, like there's a big skull in the way. And I'm really hard-headed most of the time and don't like authority, like I said, and got ADHD, and it's just and I have to hear it again. So I'm going to say it, and you guys have to listen, so here we go. It says, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, and I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, that is what we preach, it is what you believed. And again, the message was supposed to be about rest. We have to rest from our work, even if it was for God. So I have to get that out there. That was the tagline for the sermon. And I have this really great verse that I love so much. If I can find it real quick here, my eyeballs and the lights are messing with me this morning. But I love this one verse, and if you never see me again or never hear from me again or don't see me on Facebook or never see me at a car show or a gun show or whatever, my favorite verse of all time is Romans 8:28. And I've got a great big sign in my living room that's got Romans 8:28 on it. And it gives me hope every single day when I read this one little piece of scripture. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's short, but it's got a lot in it, and it means a lot to me. Now, we're all called. I don't have the market cornered on being called. We're all called for God's purpose. And we just have to remember that God's got this one promise that we can hang on to every single day, along with the millions of other promises he's got for it. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So when you're having that dark day and you can't find your rest and the alien guy's not on TV or your bills are piling up, you got health concerns, or you lost a loved one or whatever you're dealing with, you can go to this verse and say it over and over and over and over and over again to yourself. And I'm just going to repeat it one more time just to drive it home. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's this great promise, this great hope, this great verse I found and went, oh, I'm going to hang that on my wall. I'm going to write that down. It's going to be with me forever. That we're all according to his purpose. Works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. If you didn't hear anything else today, I hope you heard that one little verse. I hope it spoke to you. I hope that you know that God loves you and would do anything in his power to get a hold of you and your heart and your loved ones. That no matter what you've done, there's another verse, Romans 3:23, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. He's talking about you. He wants you. It says he rejoices over one, over the 99. He wants you back. So if you're sitting here today going, man, I don't know about this guy. If you're thinking to yourself, man, I had a crappy week. I blew it. I lost my temper. I did something I shouldn't have done. I said something I shouldn't have done. I blew it. God says, it's okay. Come back. Come back. Come back. I just want you back. Amen.